accession number 11377, reel number 1.
Mr. Bill Bateman, reel 1. When and where were you born, Mr. Bateman?
Dinwiddie Crescent.
And your date of birth?
27th of January, 1913.
Where did your father work?
Well, I never knew my father.
What had happened to him?
Well, he was supposed to be killed in the First World War.
Obviously before you were born?
Yes. Well, after I was born.
Did you have brothers and sisters?
I had a brother, Mary, and a brother, Harry, and a sister, Mary. And my brother was killed in the pits.
How old was he?
He was 25. He was killed at Ruddy Bow Colliery by a fall of stone.
How did your mother manage then with your family?
Well, I don't know. I was brought up by my grandparents.
And there was this Tindle Crescent as
this
well?
This was the Tindle Crescent. And my grandfather was a boiler smith in the Tindle Crescent Railway Works. And then we moved during the war, First World War, to a place called Woodside, near Witton Park. But I can remember just about, I don't know exactly, but I know it was next door to a public house. And then we moved to a place called The Cottage, Snowden's Farm, High Grange. And then he got a job from there. He went to Bitchburn Brickyard, and was a boilersmith there, boilersmith blacksmith. Also, in 1922, we moved from there because it was a farmer's hind's house. It was a little, nice little cottage, and we went to North Bitchburn, number 1 Low Row, in 1922.
Mm. What kind of hours did your grandfather work then?
Well,
job?
I tell the truth, I don't know. I would say.
Was it a well paid job?
No, it wasn't well paid. I can't remember what wages he got because he wasn't interested then. And, well, I went to High Grange School. See, I started school. And Nan Ginny, that I've just mentioned before, she took us from the cottage up to in 1918, just before the January before the Second World War finished. And she finished a year after that. Then I had to go on my own till our Harry, he was born. And then I took him to, then my sister Mary was born in 1919. And I always remember the buses blown for the Second World War. Now, let me think.
Your school life now?
High Grange School, it was a smashing school. And it went right through all the classes. And 1922, as I said, we went to Bitchburn. And then I had to walk from Bitchburn down to High Grange. And
do you have any memories of the teachers in the school?
Well, Miss Proud, Miss Proud, she was from Valley Terrace. That was in the infants class. Then there was Miss Slater, she was a buxom woman. Big Miss Slater, in Standard 1. Now then, Standard 2 was, Miss Butcher. And then I think Standard 3 and Standard 4 was a teacher called Tommy Featherston. He committed suicide. And then 5, 6 and 7 was taken by a chap called King. A big, tall, bald-headed bloke. He was about 6 foot, he was. We used to call him the bald-headed warrior. And then X7 was taken by the schoolmaster, Lenny Davis. He was a nice fella. And I got as far as 7.
And what memories have you of school life itself?
Well, they were good. We used to have a plenty of sport. We used to have cricket. I was a play cricket fan, like. I played football a little bit, like. But that's all we did. And then when we got into class 7, we used to do gardening, see. But they don't care. I don't seem to know much of the, remember much of the schooling. And then I left school in...
You were in this school all of your
all
life?
All the time. High grade school. I went right from the infants, right up to class 7.
The area you lived in, what kind of an area was
pit
it?
Pit village. It was a pit village. Little village, still going through. If you remember, there's a girl killed the other day. And that was a chapel you used to go to. I used to go to that Sunday school. We used to go to the Sunday school on a morning. And on afternoon, in the church on afternoon, and the church at 6 o'clock at night.
Mm. Which church was this?
This was like a little chapel. It was a Methodist chapel.
And were you involved in church activities?
No, I wasn't. Never involved. Because when I left school, I went down the pit. I left school on the Friday, and I was down the pit on the Monday.
Which colliery was this?
North Pitchburn Colliery.
And what was your job down there?
Well, first of all, I started off as a greaser. And then we used to start at 8 o'clock in the morning till 4. And then we used to beat the horses. There was no stables down the pit then. Then we used to bring all the horses out to stables down to the Valley Terrace and wash them. We used to take 4 horses along to the stables. And we had some great fun with them. And then I got onto what they call driving, that was pulling the tubs. And I did shift work then. There was mornings and nights.
How old would you be at this time?
I was 14 year old. And I did that till I was 16 year old. Then I went on what they call putting.
How many hours a day were you working?
8 hours a day, 6 days a week.
And what was the pay?
Well, the minimum wage was 4.11 a day. But you used to be on piecework, and if you didn't make the piecework on the minimum, what they call the minimum, was 4.11. And if you didn't make that, you used to make it up to us. Mm. And if one time I got what they call a cavil, say, putting in there, and you used to get so much a score, 21 tubs. 21 tubs used to put, and we managed to have, if it was a short, just in terms of the distance, you used to start off at a short distance of 1 8 pence for 21 tubs.
And you had to fill 21
no,
tubs?
No, I had to put them from the coal fillers, from the face. There used to be stone and coal at the same time. And they used to put the horse on and then pull it. He used to pull it out, just what they call a siding with an empty tube, and he used to pull it back there, and then go to what they call a flat. There was 2 lines of ones for the full ones and for the empties.
Railway lines.
Tube lines. And I did that till I was, I started, did that till I was, the colliery closed down, that was right. We got our notices in October 1932, because Peace and Partners had gone bankrupt. See, they gave us a notice. That was on 31st of October 1932. Well, I went on the dole, and we walked, me and my mate, John Wood. He was a farm labourer, he'd gotten sick and been. He says, we'll go and see if we can get a job. So we walked all around Durham and into Yorkshire, and as soon as we mentioned we're pitmen, or where vacancies. So on the 22nd of November, well, it wasn't the 22nd, it was the Friday before, he says, what about joining the Navy? I said, I don't mind. I said, how are we going to get there? He says, we'll walk. So we walked from Bitchburn to Newcastle. And that was, it took us, we set off at 10 o'clock at night. And we got there about 8 o'clock in the morning. We took sandwiches with us. We walked all the way. And we got to Grey Street and they weren't open till 9 o'clock. So we gets in there and I goes in and gets a medical examination. He says, oh, well, you're all right, like. So he says, go outside and wait. So he says, send the next bloke. And so John went in, like. And then he come up with a long face. I said, what's the matter? He says, I failed. He says, I've no molars at the back of me. He says, they failed us. I says, well, I'm not going in. So we walked out. So I said, no, we're going to get back to Bitchburn. I says, I've got two, Bob. And he had a tanner. Well, he says, I want a pack of fags. I said, well, go and get yourself a pack. Then I left him with fourpence. Because I didn't smoke then. And our 2 shillings, we goes down to the bus station, next to the central station. I forget now what station, bus station it was. And I said, well, get Anderson Reed bus. See, there were private buses them days. And we said, we'll get a bus to get the bus and let's see how far this will take us, see. So we gets on the bus leg and the bus conductor gets on. I said to John, I says, oh, I said, we might be all right here. A bloke called John Hall. He worked down the pit with us. He said, what you two doing on here? I said, well, we're going back to Bitcher and we've been trying to join the Navy. I says, how far will this Toon's Fortress take us? He says, it'll take you all the way if inspectors can get on. And we said that I told what we got the crew. So on the Monday, he says, let's go and join the army. I says, right, all right. So I went up on the Monday, that was the 21st of November, and they gave us this, we got looked over by the recruiting side, and it was a bloke called Hatton.
Where did you go to?
The recruiting office in Crook. So we went in there, and he said, oh, well, you'll be all right. Like, he said, go and get these forms signed by a clergyman or a Czech wireman or somebody important. So Ralph Stitt in Bitchburn, he was a Czech wireman down the pit, at the colliery, he signed it. And then we got the local preacher, Jimmy Peake, to sign. The recruiting signed for him. So we took him back on a Tuesday. So he says, right, oh, he says, here's your bus fares to Durham. And that's where we met up, Jane Bell, the three of us. So we got examined in there, like.
What kind of examination was it? Was
well,
it?
They just give you, like, just a check over. They weighed us, they tested our lungs and everything, like, and their reflexes. And, so when he puts it on the scale and he says, bah, he says, those nuts are very heavy. And that was, I think, 9 stone, 1.5 pounds. He says, you have to be 9 stone, 2 pounds to get in. So he says, you want to drink a glass of water? And he says, that'll put you right. So it put us right.
What height were you?
I was, I think, about 5'4". And so he put us on the train and went to Newcastle Fenham Barracks, up Barrack Road.
How were you received in the barracks?
Well, we went through the gate, and first of all, we had to we were told to report to the guard room, and then there was a police provost sergeant and a corporal, and then the corporal took us up to the barracks, and we watched along, and then we went up to second floor, and they said, this will be yours for the time being until you get allocated. So that's where we were, and we did nothing. We it was roughly about well, I think about 3:30 when we got there, and he says the down the dining room you get a mug and a plate and you'll get your teas. He says, that's the only meal you'll get today. He says, you might get a cup of cocoa if you're going down to the cocoa. It was about 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock at night. And he says, some blankets there. He says, there's no sheets. He says, you left a roof it for the first night. he says, till he gets sorted out tomorrow morning. So we managed to bed down and go.
What were you sleeping on? What was your sleeping conditions?
An iron bed and three biscuits.
And the barrack block you were in?
The barrack block, there was three stories. Now then you went, actually the Northumberland Fusiliers was on the same sort of barracks. But we were at the north end of the barracks. And then there was a ground floor, there was a squad down on the left ground floor, on the right hand side, I can't remember what that was, I think that was a store place. And then I went up some stairs on the second floor, and on the left hand side was Alma, Salamanca, I think it was, Salamanca squad, and on the right, what we were going to be, was Inkerman squad. And then on the top floor, the third floor, there was Hooge squad, but I can't remember what the other one was, because I don't suppose we ever got right to the top of them building, and that's as far as we got.
Coming into the barracks for the first time and into army discipline and ministry, how did you feel? Did it surprise you in any way?
We felt funny, like as if we were going to a strange place. And, it's very vague now.
Had you any regrets?
No, I never regretted one moment that I joined up. It was the best thing I ever did. Had a decent education at the school, and that wasn't that did as well, like. Because I passed when I went to school, I passed for the grammar school. But my parents couldn't afford to send me. My grandparents couldn't afford to send me to the grammar school, so I just had to keep on it. That was at Woolsey, supposed to go to Woolsey, and we had to pay our own train fare up in them days. And so I went down the pit. So getting back to the army, we. Next morning. Oh, we got up about 6:30. And there's a sergeant came in, and a corporal, and another corporal. And the sergeant was Sergeant Kemp. The corporal was Bailey, a boy called Bailey. And the other corporal was Barker. And he says, right, we are your instructors. So I says, right, we'll all form downstairs. We're all in civilian clothes.
Had you the full squad there then?
Yes.
How many of them would
there
be?
There was, let me think. By your fate on the that photograph, I can't remember when there was in the squad. I can't remember how many. If you see the photograph, we can't.
Had you been given any uniform or equipment?
No, we were all in our civilian clothes. And they marched, formed us up downstairs, inside the washhouse, what they called the washhouse. It was where you used to blank all the equipment and that. And they marched us to the QM stores, and that's where they kitted us all out.
And what did you get for kit and equipment?
Well, we got a soft cap, and a teddy bear cap, a hard teddy bear cap. We got two tunics, they had the universal buttons on. We give us two pairs of trousers. They give us two sets of denims, brown denims, a jacket and a pair, two jackets, two trousers. They give us two khaki shirts, and they give us underpants. I'd never worn underpants in my life, so I had to wear underpants. So,
boots? Had you been given boots?
Two pair of boots. One pair of gym shoes, that was the brown canvas ones. And then we were given blue shorts for gym shoes and two gym vests, white gym vests. Because he said, that will do for the time being, but we don't know what colour you'll be, your income and colour will be. Well, they ended up by being white.
For sizes, were you actually measured, or were things just...
Well, they just give us a rough idea. There was the storeman there, and when I went up, they were saying size 6. But they fitted quite good. And only give us two pairs of putties. The long put is them, and the trousers, you remember. Now then, what else did? Oh, and they give us a regimental cane. It's a weight cane with a daylight cup on. I don't know what happened to that eventually. Camp, and then they give us a housewife and hold all. The housewife was, there was cotton and needles in it. There was the hold all, and there was a knife, fork, spoon, razor, comb, button stick, button brush. I always remember that. And I think that was all.
Any bags or anything to carry them in or to put things in?
Oh, that's a kit bag. Give us a kit. I forgot about the kit bag. They give us on. They says night oil. I'll have to go and get dressed now. So we all march back to the barracks. And they says right, oh, put all your kit there. We went down to the medical centre, and they give us another medical examination. They all slipped off.
Was this a thorough one?
Well, it was just what they call an FFI, a field in. And then they says when we finished, each one went there. He went to visit the dentist. The dentist examined us. And they says all right, oh, and then we all formed up and marched back to the barracks. They says now we'll have to learn, you know, to do your uniforms and that. And he says tomorrow you'll get the equipment. And he says your rifles and bayonets, the ammunition and that, really, like that was next day. But on the same night, he says, right on, and this Lance Corporal, he was then struck in the full corporal, he started showing us how to do our uniform, like they put the uniforms on, and how to crease the trousers. They were all, they had to be 2 inches below the knee, and they're putting the long putties on. Oh, what a job we had, starting to learn to put them putties on. He says, no, he says, they must end on the outside. See, it was like a V, and then there were straps you had to strap around. But every time we used to get, we had to finish here or the back. There was a certain way you had to start on your boots. See, a lot of the lads had never worn heavy boots in their lives. But I'd been used to be down the pit. I was used to heavy boots. And he says, well, we can't. I've only worn shoes all the time. One lad said, he said, I don't know, I've got to get used to these. And so it vaguely comes to, and we, I think we nearly, when lights out, last board blew, they says, right, or you have to go to bed now, you can't stop for any longer, so lights out at 10:15.
What time did you get up the next morning?
About 6:30.
And was this
everybody
by
used to blow at 6:30.
By bugle.
They used to get up with ourselves dressed. And the there's one thing about the wash part. The wash part was at the end of the barrack room. And there was about five or six, I think it was six basins. And there used to be a scramble. We used to have to take turns. And there was no hot water. It was all cold water. And one shaving, it was, I only had bum fluff at the time. It didn't take, but it must taken off. But when the other lads with the rubber beard, they used to play war with it. So after we managed to get all washed up and everything, but we had to buy our own soap. See, we had to go to the canteen to get the soap. Because when we left Durham, we got so much, we got a day's pay. So we had something then to start off with. So after washing up that, we used to make our beds up. We used to fold the biscuits up, fold our blankets up. We had a certain way of folding them, because the Lance Corporal was there, and he kept instructing us how to do them. So we folded we used to have three blankets and two sheets and a pillowcase, and put on the pillow, hard pillow as well. And he says, right on, and we says, you'll fold one blanket, put it on top of the biscuit, and then fold a sheet. It used to make more like a sandwich, if you get what I mean. There used to be a blanket folded, then a a sheet, then a blanket, then a sheet, and then there was one blanket put completely round and set on top of the, on the biscuits. Now, he says, that's one way of making your beds up. He says, now tomorrow, he says, we'll show you another way, what we call the armchair. If you get what the armchair was, it was the bed used to be, you have to shove it in, it was like a pull-out bed, iron bed, and pushed in. There was no springs on it. And what they used to do, you folded the, all your blankets and the same, but smaller, and put the, at the back of the iron bed. Now, you, what you did was you wrap one blanket round one biscuit, and then you just stand it up, and then you wrap another blanket round the bottom biscuit, and it was what you call an armchair. See, there was a seat and the one at the back. That's how, what they used to call the armchair system. But he says the other one, the first one I showed you, had to be for Saturday and Sundays. But the armchair ones used to be for through the week, Mondays to Friday.
And we were allowed to sit on them as armchairs?
Yes, that's how we used to sit on them. But we weren't allowed to make our beds till after 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And that was every day, and but Saturday we and Sunday, we could to put our, it's 12 o'clock, we'd put your bed down at 12 o'clock. But through the week, it used to be after 3 o'clock.
Was there any reason for 3 o'clock?
I don't know why the reason was, because it was the middle of the afternoon, and many times we didn't get them down till after tea. But we weren't allowed to put them down till after 3 o'clock. And Wednesday used to be a half day. Used to be what they call a sports day.
Had you had your haircuts when you went?
No, we hadn't had our haircuts. We hadn't had to visit the barbers.
So you'd got up.
Oh, that was it. Now, if I remember now, at the bottom, when I described the barracks, the right hand side was the barber's shop. I remember now, the barber's shop. And there was, I think, two barbers in there. And when they took us down to get our haircuts, they straight over the top. Nice built. Well, I had a decent haircut. I used to have a short haircut myself. I never had it pretty long. And
so it was shaved over?
No. The shears went straight over the top. Yes. And they says you're not allowed half an. You're only allowed half an inch on the top.
Now, did you have to pay for your haircut out of your own money?
It came out of what you call credits. It was like a stoppage through the colour sergeant, I think it was.
How much a day were you getting?
2 shilling. But they only paid us 1 shilling. And they said the shilling was for in case you did barrack room damages and you weren't going your credit.
You'd got up then and you'd got yourselves washed. What was your next?
Well, we went to get our rifles and bayonets from the armory. And it was a Lee Enfield 303. But it was a one, it wasn't a proper rifle. It was a firing pin. There was no firing pin in the bolt. It was like a dummy rifle. And the bayonet was real. It was only what they call a drill rifle. It wasn't the one you used to go and shoot with. You just have to drill with it. And then they showed us how to clean it. Brought it back. It was all full of grease and everything like.
And how did you get that off?
Yeah. Well, we got some loads of cotton waste that you got from the armourer. And there was some paraffin. We got some paraffin and everything like. We managed to get it down. And then when we got it all cleaned off, they said, now then, the woodwork must be polished with linseed oil. And the metalwork must be kept at all times oiled, slightly oiled. So we had an oil bottle in the butt and a pull through. And they says, now to clean the barrel out, you put this, what they call 4x2, it was like flannelette. It was white with a red stripe on it. Can you remember it? And He says, you put a piece of that in your loop and just pull it through, you drop the weight through the barrel. It shows all, they showed it all, that how to put the weight down, take the bolt out, and put the weight down and pull it through. It wasn't hard work there. I wish I'd got to know about it, like. So that was all they did to us. And
had you got any webbing at all at this stage?
Yes, we had all our webbing. Now they showed us. Now they says we can't supply with blanco. He says you'll have to go to the canteen and buy the blanco. It was khaki blanco. It wasn't green. It was the Durham Light Infantry used what they call that light coloured. It was khaki, like a dark khaki colour. Whereas the green, the other regiments used to have a green. And we just when we put it on with our khaki, it was like more like camouflage with our uniform. Now then,
so you were issued webbing, and what kind of webbing was it?
It was the broad belt, the old First World War type stuff. That, and they showed us how to fit it on and put all the buckles. That was nearly our first day.